The judge of silent places, the shadow hand of justice. I recall the first time I met Cale Varn. It was in the damp, narrow corridors of the Nightforged Temple, where the flickering torches cast eerie shadows on the walls. He moved unseen, a ghost among the stone pillars, his eyes fixed on some point beyond me. The soft rustle of his black robes was almost imperceptible, like the quieting of a summer breeze. I'd been summoned by one of the Knights of the Black Rose Order, who whispered to me in hushed tones about a delicate situation that required subtle correction. Cale's gaze finally settled on me, and he inclined his head in a subtle nod. "Your presence is requested, Thalia. The Judge of Silent Places requires guidance." As we traversed the winding streets of Avaria, Cale told me little about our destination. He spoke of shadows and the need for balance, but offered no more than that. I knew better than to pry. Balance was a virtue in this line of work. We arrived at a modest house on the outskirts of town, its windows shuttered as if to hide secrets. Cale led me inside, where a figure waited in the dimly lit room. The woman's features were obscured by a hood, but her presence radiated an aura of quiet power. She introduced herself as Alara, a member of House Valen. "The Broken Writ has spoken," she said, her voice low and measured. "One of our own has strayed from the path. A young initiate, consumed by ambition. We need adjustment." Cale's eyes locked onto mine, his gaze piercing but unyielding. I nodded, knowing what was expected. Alara led us to a small courtyard, where a young woman hung suspended from a rope, her body limp and still. With a quiet nod from Cale, I reached into my belt and produced a vial of Melos Draw Essence, the same substance that flowed through the very stones of Nightforge. The liquid glowed with an ethereal light as I poured it onto the initiate's lips. Her chest heaved once, twice, before her body went limp again. The cost was immediate. My head throbbed with a dull ache, and I felt the weight of Melos Draw power settle in my stomach like lead. Cale offered no words, but his expression told me that this was acceptable. Balance had been maintained, for now. As we departed the house, Alara handed me a small package sealed with the Valen emblem. "A token of our appreciation," she said. "May it serve as a reminder of your role in this dance." I unwrapped the cloth to find a silver pendant bearing the image of the Broken Writ, a symbol of the sacred texts that governed our order's actions. The weight of it settled heavy on my chest, a tangible reminder of the burden I carried. Cale's parting words still echoed in my mind as we walked back into the fading light. "Justice without spectacle, Thalia. We walk unseen, and sometimes that means making hard choices." The darkness swallowed us whole, leaving me to ponder the true meaning behind his words. As I wrapped my fingers around the pendant, the weight of the Broken Writ settled upon me like a shroud. I'd taken on many roles in my years as a Black Rose enforcer, mediator, executioner, but this was the first time I'd been entrusted with a token from one of the noble houses themselves. The gesture wasn't lost on me. Ilara's words still lingered in my mind like a promise. "May it serve as a reminder of your role in this dance." I glanced at Cale, wondering if he knew what the pendant signified beyond its superficial meaning. His expression remained impassive, but I detected a flicker of interest behind his eyes. Perhaps he was as curious about the Valen's intentions as I was. We walked on, our footsteps echoing through the deserted streets as we made our way back to Nightforge. The air grew thick with the smell of smoke and grease as we entered the city's underbelly. Taverns, blacksmiths, and food stalls gave way to a maze of cramped alleys and narrow stairways. It was here that the city's secrets were forged in darkness, where pimps, thieves, and assassins plied their trades beneath the watchful eyes of Nightforge's enforcers. I navigated this labyrinth with ease, knowing every twist and turn by heart. Cale fell into step beside me, his footsteps mirroring mine as we descended into the Undercity. "What do you think is behind Alara's request?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. I hesitated, unsure how much to reveal. But Cale's expression was expectant, and I knew better than to keep secrets from him. Maybe she needs us to make an example, I ventured. A young initiate straying from the path could be a symptom of deeper rot within House Valen. My words hung in the air like a challenge, but Kale offered no reaction. Instead, he nodded thoughtfully and continued our descent into the heart of Nightforge's underworld. We eventually arrived at an abandoned warehouse, its walls smeared with the grime of years. A pair of guards stood watch outside, their faces obscured by hoods, while a third figure waited within a hooded man who beckoned us forward without a word. As we entered the warehouse, I recognized the air of desperation that clung to him like a shroud. "Kale Varn," he said, his voice cracking with anxiety. "We need your help." The man's eyes darted to me, then back to Kale, as if searching for reassurance. "House Valen's influence has grown too great," he stammered. "They're using their resources to buy up properties, silence whispers about their dealings. We fear they'll strangle the life from this city." Kale's expression remained detached, but his gaze narrowed slightly as if weighing the man's words. I stepped forward, intrigued by the undercurrents in his voice. "What kind of dealings?" I asked, my eyes locked on the hooded figure. He hesitated before speaking in a barely audible whisper. "The silent places, dark places within the city where the law can't reach. They're digging into those depths, uncovering secrets that should remain buried." His words dripped with a desperation that sent a shiver down my spine. I glanced at Kale, sensing he'd heard something I hadn't. "Who's we?" Kale asked, his voice firm but controlled. The hooded man hesitated before nodding toward the shadows, where two figures emerged from the darkness. A young woman with a scar above her left eyebrow and a burly man with arms as thick as tree trunks stepped forward. "This is Aaron and Gorm," he said. "They've been with us since the troubles began." I recognized the scars on their faces, the haunted look in their eyes. They were veterans of the city's darker corners. Their presence spoke of desperation and rebellion, and I sensed a kinship between them that went beyond mere acquaintanceship. Kale's gaze roamed over the trio before settling back on me. "We need your expertise," the hooded man continued, his words laced with urgency. "Kale's reputation precedes him. We believe he can help us reach those in power, perhaps sway their attention away from our cause." His eyes flickered to Kale, then to the pendant I wore, before finally settling on me. "We know you're connected to the Order," he said, his voice low and measured. "We think you might have a way to make our voices heard, without them silencing us forever." I felt the weight of Alara's token shift against my chest as Kale's eyes met mine. For an instant, I saw something akin to intrigue in their depths, but it was quickly veiled by his usual impassivity. I wrapped my fingers tighter around the pendant, feeling the weight of Alara's token settle into place. The words of her initiate still lingered in my mind, a reminder that our actions were being watched from the shadows, and that some balance had been struck. But what exactly did this mean? Was it merely a gesture of goodwill, or was there something more at play? As I pondered Alara's intentions, Kale turned to the hooded man, his voice measured and detached. "What do you propose we do?" The man's eyes darted between us, as if searching for reassurance. "We believe with your influence, we can negotiate with House Valen. Perhaps they'll listen to reason, or at least be willing to meet us halfway." The air in the warehouse seemed to grow thick with anticipation as the hooded man paused, collecting his thoughts before speaking on. "We've identified several locations within Nightforge where their influence is strongest," he said finally. "If you can infiltrate these areas, gather evidence of their dealings, perhaps it'll be enough to sway public opinion against them." His words dripped with a quiet desperation that sent shivers down my spine. Aaron and Gorm exchanged a look, their faces set in determined lines. The air was heavy with tension as Kale's gaze roamed over the three of us before settling on me. "We'll need to tread carefully," he said finally. "If House Valen has indeed begun digging into the silent places, we may be walking into a minefield." His words hung in the air like a warning, but I sensed something else beneath them, a flicker of interest that mirrored my own. The hooded man's eyes darted between us once more before he nodded curtly. "We're willing to take that risk," he said, his voice low and resolute. "If you can help us reach those in power, perhaps we'll be able to uncover the truth." His words were a challenge, but I sensed something more beneath them, a cry for help from those lost in the darkness. As the meeting drew to a close, Kale turned to me with an unspoken question etched on his face. What did Ilara's token signify? And what lay hidden within the silent places of Nightforge, waiting to be uncovered? We left the warehouse, our footsteps echoing through the narrow alleys as we made our way back to Nightforge's lower levels. The hooded man, whose name was Riker, had given us a rough map of the locations he believed were most crucial to infiltrate. Aaron and Gorm had been tasked with gathering information on potential entry points and vulnerabilities within the targeted areas. As we descended deeper into the city, I couldn't shake off the feeling that Ilara's token weighed heavier against my chest now. The implications of Riker's words swirled in my mind: what secrets lay hidden within the silent places? And how far was House Valen willing to go to uncover them? Kale's silence was a palpable thing, his eyes fixed on the map as he studied it with an intensity that bordered on obsession. We stopped at a dingy tavern on the edge of the Undercity, its sign creaking in the gentle breeze. The patrons within were a rough bunch: dockworkers, sailors, and smugglers, but I knew them by name and reputation. Kale ordered us drinks, his eyes scanning the room before locking onto a figure huddled in the corner. "That's Grax," he said, his voice low. "A former soldier turned enthusiast. He's got connections with some of the city's more flexible factions." His gaze flicked to me, and I sensed an unspoken message: trust no one. Grax noticed our approach, his face lighting up as he stood to greet us. Kale handed him a coin, and in return, Grax leaned in close, his voice barely audible over the din of conversation. "I heard rumors," he said, his words laced with a sly grin, "about Valen's digging into the silent places. Some say they are searching for something specific or someone." His eyes darted between us before settling back on me. "Be careful, friends. The shadows can be treacherous, especially when you're not sure what you're looking for." I exchanged a look with Kale, our faces a mask of studied neutrality. "We'll be fine," he said, his voice smooth as silk. But I knew better: the city's web of secrets and lies was about to ensnare us all. As we left the tavern, Kale fell into step beside me, his eyes scanning the crowded alleys as if searching for a thread to tug on. The map of Nightforge's Undercity was seared into my mind: a maze of narrow streets, hidden courtyards, and cramped tenements. We navigated through this labyrinthine world with ease, Kale leading the way through backstreets and blind corners. Our route took us past crumbling warehouses and disused factories, where the sounds of hammering and chiseling echoed through the night air. It was a cacophony of activity, as if the city itself was being reshaped by unseen hands. I watched Kale's face, sensing his focus on the task at hand: our mission to infiltrate House Valen's strongholds. At one particularly narrow alleyway, we stopped before a massive stone door adorned with an iron plaque bearing the crest of House Valen. Aaron and Gorm stood watchful sentry, their eyes scanning the rooftops as if expecting pursuit at any moment. The air was heavy with anticipation as Kale produced a set of lockpicks from his belt and began to work on the mechanism. His hands moved deftly, the sound of scraping metal echoing through the alleyway. The door creaked open, revealing a dimly lit corridor lined with cobweb-shrouded portraits of Valen ancestors. Kale motioned for us to follow him as we stepped into the unknown, our footsteps echoing off the walls like a death knell. A chill ran down my spine as I gazed upon the opulent interior, trying to gauge the extent of House Valen's influence within these walls. As we moved deeper into the manor, the air grew thick with the scent of incense and old parchment. Portraits watched us from every wall, their subjects' eyes seeming to bore into my skin like cold steel. We paused at a landing before a grand staircase, where a tapestry depicted Valen's founders gazing down upon the city they had claimed as their own. "Stay sharp," Kale whispered, his eyes scanning the stairs for hidden dangers. "This is just the beginning." With that, he led us up the stairs, into a world of ornate chambers and lavish furnishings where secrets waited to be unearthed and conspiracies simmered like a pot left unattended on the stove. As we ascended, the silence was oppressive, punctuated only by the soft creaking of old wooden floorboards beneath our feet. Portraits seemed to watch us from every corner, their subjects' faces stern and unyielding. I felt a shiver run down my spine as Kale's hand brushed against mine, a fleeting touch that sent a spark of electricity through me. He didn't notice, his focus fixed on the task at hand. We reached the top landing, where a corridor stretched out before us like an empty throat. Candles flickered in sconces along the walls, casting eerie shadows on the floor. Kale motioned for us to spread out, covering more ground as we explored the upper floors of the manor. Aaron and Gorm moved quietly to our left, while I trailed behind Kale, my senses on high alert. The air was thick with the scent of old books and dust. We navigated through a series of lavish chambers, each one containing more secrets than the last. I spotted a collection of forbidden texts bound in black leather on a nearby shelf, their pages yellowed and crackling with age. Kale's eyes flicked to mine, his gaze questioning my discovery before he moved on, ever cautious. We continued deeper into the manor, our footsteps echoing through the empty halls like mourners' whispers. A door at the far end of the corridor caught Kale's attention, its surface adorned with intricate carvings of twisted vines and flowers. He approached it slowly, his hand reaching for the handle as if expecting something to spring out from beneath it. The air around us seemed to vibrate with tension as he turned the handle and pushed the door open, revealing a room filled with rows of shelves and workstations. The space was a makeshift workshop, its occupants focused on crafting whatever it was they created here. The room's occupants, men and women in Valen's livery, their faces intent and weary, looked up as we entered. Their eyes flickered from Kale to me before settling back on the workbench where several objects sat arrayed like offerings. I spotted a series of tiny, intricately carved wooden boxes, each adorned with symbols that seemed to shift in the candlelight. Next to them lay a collection of silver vials filled with a shimmering liquid, its surface reflecting the light like molten metal. Kale's eyes widened as he took in the room, his gaze lingering on the wooden boxes and vials before sweeping to the craftsmen themselves. They stood frozen, their faces pale, as if awaiting some unspoken verdict. The air was heavy with the scent of wood shavings and a hint of something pungent, like burning resin. The leader of the group, a man with a thick beard and sun-weathered skin, stepped forward, his eyes fixed on Kale's face. "Can we help you?" he asked, his voice gruff but cautious. I watched as Kale's eyes flicked to the objects on the workbench, his expression unreadable. We stood there for a moment, the silence between us growing thicker than the dust coating the shelves. The craftsmen seemed to be holding their collective breath, waiting for some sign from Kale or me. I felt my hand instinctively reach for the dagger at my side, the familiar weight of it a comforting presence in this unnerving atmosphere. Kale took a step forward, his eyes never leaving the workbench. "What's being made here?" he asked, his voice low and even. The bearded man hesitated before answering, his eyes darting to his companions before returning to Kale. "We're creating items for the mistress," he said finally, his voice hesitant. I exchanged a look with Kale, sensing a deeper meaning behind the man's words. His gaze snapped back to the vials and boxes, his eyes narrowing as if trying to decipher some hidden code. The craftsmen seemed frozen in place, their faces pale and drawn. I sensed a strange, unspoken energy emanating from them, as if they were caught between loyalty and fear. "We don't have time for this," Kale said finally, his voice firm but measured. "Where is the mistress?" His eyes flicked to the bearded man, who nodded slowly toward a door at the far end of the room, partially hidden by a tattered tapestry. The air in the workshop seemed to thicken, heavy with anticipation and a sense of foreboding. Kale's gaze locked onto mine, his expression a mixture of caution and determination. I felt a shiver run down my spine as he stepped forward, leading me toward the door and the mistress herself, whatever secrets or terrors awaited us beyond it. As we moved toward the door, the craftsman's eyes followed us with a mixture of fear and fascination, their faces a map of unasked questions and hidden terrors. I felt a shiver run down my spine as Kale's hand brushed against mine once more, a fleeting touch that sent a spark of electricity through me. We paused before the door, a large, ornate thing with a silver handle shaped like a serpent's head. Kale pushed the door open, revealing a room bathed in a soft, ethereal light that seemed almost otherworldly. The air inside was heavy with the scent of jasmine and myrrh, a perfume that clung to me as we stepped across the threshold. A woman sat on a throne-like chair, her back to us, surrounded by candles that cast flickering shadows on the walls. Her dark hair cascaded down her back like a waterfall of night, and her slender fingers were steepled together in front of her face. As we entered, she slowly turned her head, her eyes meeting mine with a gaze both piercing and melancholy. Her eyes were an unnatural shade of green, almost yellowed at the edges as if they'd been stained by some long-forgotten elixir. A faint scent of sickness clung to her like a shroud, and I felt a pang of recognition. This was the mistress House Phelan had been searching for all along. She rose from her throne-like chair, her movements fluid despite the obvious strain that etched her face. "Welcome," she said, her voice husky and weary, as if the weight of her responsibilities had taken its toll on her vocal cords. Her eyes flicked to Kale, then back to me, a hint of curiosity dancing in their depths. I felt a shiver run down my spine as she began to walk toward us, her movements slow and deliberate. Kale stepped forward, his hand extended in a gesture of respect or greeting, or perhaps both. The mistress took it, her grip firm, but I sensed a weariness there, like the threads of a worn rope on the verge of snapping. "I see you've discovered our little workshop," she said, her voice dripping with a mixture of sadness and wistfulness. "We're making items for special occasions." Her gaze met mine, and I felt a shiver run down my spine as she continued, "Items that will soon change the course of House Valen's history forever." As she spoke, her hand tightened around Kale's, and he winced, his eyes flicking to hers with a mixture of concern and alarm. The mistress didn't seem to notice, her focus fixed on me as if willing something, hope or despair, I couldn't quite tell, into my very being. I felt the air grow thick with tension, heavy with unspoken secrets and hidden intentions. We were walking blindfolded through a minefield, each step drawing us closer to some unknown detonation point. "What do you want from me?" she asked, her voice low and husky, like the rustling of dry leaves in an autumn breeze. Kale's grip on my hand tightened, as if sensing my uncertainty or unease. I glanced at him, then back at the mistress, trying to read the intentions behind her words, but her face was a map of secrets and half-truths. "We're here about the child," Kale said finally, his voice firm but measured. "The one taken from your stronghold." The mistress's gaze snapped back to his, and for an instant, I thought I saw something flicker in her eyes, a spark of anger or fear. But it was quickly extinguished, replaced by a mask of calm, calculating detachment. "Ah," she said finally, her voice dripping with a practiced innocence. "You mean the little one we lost?"